What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism. Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Getalo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. And that's my weirdo intro, and not all those things reflect my opinions, if you couldn't tell. I'm here today with Hila Perry and Sir Nate. And or do you want to be Nate, or what do you want to be? I know you as Sir Nate.
I'll be whatever you'd like me to be.
I'll be Hila the Killer.
Hila the Killer, yeah.
As it relates to Sir Nate.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, names. And before the show, we were talking about what my name is, and I was like, isn't it Tuke? I'm like, yeah, it is Tuke, but for all spelling purposes, it's Took. You know, it makes it easier. So anyway, so we're here today, and we're going to talk a little bit about how Hila has been doing this zero waste. Would you call it a cleanse or a lifestyle? Every time I've written about it, I've been like, a lifestyle change.
I like the idea of it being a cleanse. I guess it is sort of a cleanse. It's an awareness thing about how much trash I create or throw away in my daily life. Different things that I acquire from the outside world that are meant for trash, that are meant to be thrown away, like disposable utensils or cups, takeaway containers, napkins, straws. And I've been trying to actively eliminate that from my life and try not to participate with it.
Like all this stuff that's like pretty basic consumer stuff that people just don't even think about. Like they'll just be like, oh, this is a throwaway styrofoam thing. But people just get like 5 cups of coffee
right.
In these paper cups and just throw them out. I remember you were saying, so I went to this meeting, meetup for people who were trying to learn about how to eliminate waste from their life with Hila. And we were talking about paper and how paper decomposes. So that's not as bad. But still, people get these like styrofoam and styrofoam
right.
plastic and all
I
that.
I mean, there's different materials that we use, and paper, metal, glass, those are actually totally recyclable, decompostable materials. They come from the earth. They go back to the earth. Plastic is a specifically dangerous material that we have created but have no real solution for getting rid of. So it ends up in our landfills, and it takes thousands of hundreds of millions of years to decompose. So it's just sitting there, and we keep creating it, but not with any sort of sense of sacredness. Like we just create it and then we throw it out. It's like very counterproductive and counterintuitive.
Sounds like a lot of things.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of things that have been created in the name of consumerism and money and like the now culture is like that. It's like, well, we have it now, but what do we do with it later?
Right.
It's like ridiculous. So Hila and Nate are going to perform a song on here, right? So you feel ready to give us a little intro to the whole thing?
Yeah,
well, I guess since we discussed plastic, this song is about plastic specifically.
It's a good segue.
Yeah, it's about Plastic Man. Do you want to tell him?
Yeah. It's a song that's sort of imagining, like, if we could have some sort of dialogue with the personification of this creature that we created that is set up to outlast us in terms of its, you know, its makeup. This is what that conversation would involve. We made it with our friend Akil, and he sort of conceived the idea of, like, he's the Plastic Man. So when you hear, like, the scary pitched-down vocal, that's the personification of the Plastic Man himself, you know, in presence.
Yeah.
I love that so much. That makes me so happy, the Plastic Man. All right. All right, let's do the Plastic Man. Here we go. I'm going to turn off my mic for this. Here we go. All right. I just fucked some shit up. What did I do? I made it too loud. That's what I did.
I am Plastic Man.
Shape it like the hand that fashioned Adam out of the clay. Except that after having shaped it, that hand throws that shit away. But it can't throw that shit away though, because the thing that it made is immortal, and it will outlive that same Adam, for that Adam is but soil. Adam found himself some oil, and then he mined it, and then he refined it, and he figured he might as well make some shit and then make some people buy it. He said, everything is made of its little chemical parts that aren't the same. I'ma separate that oil into hydrocarbon chains. I got hydrocarbon chains, I got monomers for days, I got ethylenes and propylenes. trampolines, butene, C4H8. Then I'm gonna put them all back in their place. Then I'm gonna make them all bond like James. I got something kinda different than the shit from which it came. Now I call that shit a polymer. Carbon and oxygen, nitrogen, sulfur. Yeah, I can make it get rid of it, not sure. I feel like, oh my god, the words. I'm trying to break it down, the shit is harder than a hard on. The molecules that bind it are a carbon and a carbon.
I'm plastic, man.
Happily at your focus, don't lie to you on the
lies. I'm plastic, man.
Structure, endocrine disruptor, silent and also subtle.
I'm plastic. I'm plastic. Cups, spoons, forks, knives, those are useful objects. To go goodbye, I loved you once, and now I'm ready to toss it. They're plastic. They came with my meal. If I saw a box of plastic forks, I probably wouldn't steal it, but I eat it. I take the trash and run, end up with it on my plate. No thank you, I am done. Yo, some people check out my ass. Some people check out my glass cup when I have it on me. Ain't no trash with my coffee. Yup. Cloth napkins for spills. Mesh bags for groceries. Beeswax for my dry knees. See, I really love the trees. I refill, I reuse. Plastic bags I kindly refuse. Reduce consumption, I choose to cruise on my bike when I move truth. I quick nix the plastic. Fix it before the landfills. Reflect upon the grand hills. Affect a change in action. Human life is just a fraction. Generations of people pass us. The future and the past us. See a world of plastic dust.
I'm plastic, man. I'm plastic, man. Awful lot of trash getting less roommate. Can't make it go away, can't shake it like a booty. Can't make it go away cause it sticks like a cootie. Plastic bag floating in American Beauty. That's that phone, that's that pager. That's a microwave, that's a whole refrigerator. That's what you get when they ask you that a paper. It won't go now and it won't go later. It won't go now, it won't go after. Make it anyway like it just don't matter. Every day the candy gotta have that wrapper. Snap like your so-called disposable camera. Just can't have it, cannot have it. Damn, that's tragic, man, goddammit. Man made more than their space on the planet. God made man and then man made plastic.
Holy shit, that was so awesome.
Perfect.
I really love having this bell in here.
Yeah, this bell.
I don't understand how all your guests don't use the
bell. None of my guests have used the bell because all of my friends are like raging angry anarchists. Like all the people who come on this, not all the people, but enough people come on this show are super just like, no ban on stolen land. What's this bell? No, no, no.
You suggest that it's our moderate views that incline us to enjoy the bell.
I think that it's, I mean, it depends. Is it the Liberty Bell? Or
I hadn't thought of it symbolically at all. It's just a
no, no. Nice, I don't think of it as that. I just think that some people who come to my show sometimes are like in their own box of like revolution, which is not revolution because they got a box on their head.
Right.
You know,
right,
I don't know. No. Everybody who's ever been on my show, I love you very much. I just think that sometimes we get very, very serious on this show.
What are you going to say about us when we're not
on
the show?
Yeah, right. Like,
what am I going to say about you when you're not here? I'm going to say these people came and performed music on my show, and that was fucking killer. Instead of screaming about a lot of things. A lot of screaming on what would save the world on Radio Free Brooklyn. And also, if you like Radio Free Brooklyn, you like what's been going on so far, you can donate to our community freeform station at patreon.com/Radio Free Brooklyn. So that song was super kick-ass. I love the whole thing about the different science. And I also love the plastic man. It reminded me of the Rugrats in a way. Like if the Rugrats got older and read something and started to try to affect change.
And became rappers?
Became rappers.
Rogue rappers.
Rogue rappers. I mean, can you imagine if the Rugrats became activists of some kind? Like, they would get so much done.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they were so skilled at going on adventures
and
being resourceful. So speaking of resourceful, so I want to know, what inspired you to start doing this? Like, what was your thinking?
Well, I guess it started it entered my consciousness when I went to Burning Man, and one of the principles of Burning Man is leave no trace. And so everything that you bring into the festival, you have to take out. So you sort of want to be aware of your trash. And also there's this culture of picking up moop, which is matter out of place. And so, like, just being more conscious about trash. Despite that, you know, there's still a lot of trash that goes into Burning Man, you know, as a festival. And every single person that goes, like, buys a lot of stuff. And even if they leave their packaging at home, it doesn't matter. Like, the packaging still exists. And, like, the buying and the consumerism, like, that still exists. So there was that element. But then I came into contact with a good friend, Rennie Lane, and she's a musician. She has a band, and she's like, does zero waste stuff as well. She has a blog called Zero Waste Rockstar.
And check out that blog.
Yeah, it's super cool. And so after talking to her and seeing some of her stuff, like, I was super inspired, and I was like, okay, maybe I can try to do this. You know, first of all, like, removing, like, not using plastic bags to shop with, so taking a bag with me all the time. That's, like, the one of the first things I did. And then just, like, continuing to try to do it. It's a really long process. Like, I can't say how long it's been since I started or something like that, because it's just every day is a challenge.
What was, like, the first thing you did?
Yeah, like, start taking with me a bag, like a
just
cloth
bag. A bag.
Yeah.
Duh.
I mean, actually carrying a bag all the time is a big thing about it. Like, I always have a bag and I always have things with me. Unless I know that I'm going to one place and then coming back home, like, I'll have my backpack with my tools.
Yeah, I really like that idea of bringing, like, the Burning Man culture out into the world, because, like, I've been to a couple burn events, and I've had, like, issues at burn events because I used to live on this commune where people, like, try to be like that, like, all the time, or tried. And I've noticed, like what you were saying, people still bring in a lot of trash. So it's, like, this, like, hard for people to be in just, like, an away culture from the mainstream culture. Or if they're doing it, it's only for, like, a temporary time. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to go back out. And so it's, like, almost like playing sustainable. It's like, let's play the sustainable game for a week. Or, like, I don't know, how long is Burning Man? A couple weeks?
Well, I mean, I know, like, when I, my first burn, like, I remember looking up stuff and people, like, telling me, gotta get baby wipes. And now I'm thinking about baby wipes. It's like a Burning Man thing. And I'm like, baby wipes? I would never buy baby wipes now because, A, they come in plastic, like, little things. And they also, baby wipes are trash, basically, you know? So it's just, that's just an interesting thing where, like, even though Burning Man is about leave no trace, it's not totally about zero waste. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, a lot of festivals do not have all of the things together to not be, to be completely zero waste. The same thing with Rainbow Gathering. Like, you want, like, people, but people try, though, and that's what's awesome about it. People really try, and then people like you come out and they're like, let's try to figure out how to actually be zero waste. That's really cool. So, like, how would you recommend that someone start doing this kind of thing?
I don't know. I guess, Nate, do you have any insights to that question? Because you sort of started doing some stuff.
Yeah. Well, I can recommend meeting and making music with and spending a lot of time with somebody who is really committed to it. That's been an inspiration for me. That's, I mean, I guess in a way I feel like a test case of the contagious kind of aspect of it. Because in the sense of, like, you know, we're really close. We spend a lot of time together. And were I to just continue living unconscientiously, it would become, whether I liked it or not, a psychological abrasion in the sense that, like, I can't help but think about it now, you know? Because I'm not as completely, wholly integrated into the practice as you are in the sense that, like, I'll get a sandwich with some wax paper or something like that, but now I'm not taking the bag, and now I'm not, like, you know, I'm not taking plastic bags, and I'm being conscious about bringing a, you know, a bag where I go, you know, so that, or my aluminum coffee mug or something like that, you know, just by virtue of the proxy, you know, of the connection.
So you think there's, like, a monkey see, monkey do aspect? Because, to be honest, I had never even thought, like, I think about, like, plastic and styrofoam, and I think about that, like, when I go get fast food, but I didn't think of it on, like, such a huge, like, a larger level. Like if I go to the store and buy, like, berries or something that comes in plastic, or buy, like, a paper box, like, or like a cardboard, I never even, like, thought about, like, how difficult it is set up in our society to not be able to get that, to, like,
right,
to be like, oh, well, I don't, or not, you're able, but to not want to contribute to that, like, to that consumerism of these wasteful packaging.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that was super interesting to me, I finished up my laundry detergent. And I was like, oh, like, what am I gonna do now? Like, what do I do I get new laundry detergent in like a new plastic thing or what? And it's cool because there's a lot of places in the city and in Brooklyn that sell bulk soaps and bulk, you know, laundry detergent, things like that. You can go and like refill your own container with laundry detergent. Mm. And that's just like one step in the right direction for that. I mean, a lot of people also make their own hygienic products and different things that you can like phase out of what you need and what you don't need, you know. Berries are definitely a sort of issue. Just one, for one, because they're not locally sourced, so they have to come in from other sort places. That's why they come in plastic. They're not like seasonal right now, so that, you know, I mean, you could probably get berries at the farmer's market and you can have them, put them in your own jar, but you can't do that right now in the winter because there's no berries in the winter.
Right.
No berries. I mean, that's something I think about too sometimes. Like, I mean, maybe I'm just a hard ass, but like I think about, like, do people really need to have what the food exactly that they want all the time? Like some people do, like if they have like allergies or something, but like, if someone could have like a completely like vegan, no allergies for them diet, or if they could have it with what could probably grow in this area or what's locally sourced.
Yeah,
I think about that a lot sometimes. I'm like, do you need to have an avocado right now?
Yeah, I think a lot of this practice has led me to think about what it is that I really need and what it is that I want, and how those come into like play with each other all the time, because I've been reducing a lot of the stuff that I usually thought I would need, especially as it pertains to grocery shopping and food intake. Like, going vegan is a huge element of, that's one way that somebody could decide, like, oh, I actually don't need meat.
And are you vegan also?
Well, actually, I eat eggs, but I source my eggs from the farmer's market. So
cool. That's,
and I bring, like, I bring back my little cardboard container to have them fill up with eggs, so they don't even have, so the person who doesn't have to have that many, you know, lying around. And that's cool, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I try to be aware of where my food comes from.
Yeah, I really like to know about that too. And I like to cook most of my own food. Like, if I'm out, I'll buy food, but I have been changing my diet so much just naturally, because I've noticed that meat and all this like really heavy processed food just doesn't feel good for me. Mm. So I went out to eat with some people at this like buffet up in Harlem, and I just ate like chickpeas and veggies and rice, and my friends were all looking at me like, there's all this chicken here, what's wrong with you? So funny. But something I was interested in is like, so do you have interest in, like, spreading this to more people, like, trying to, because you don't talk about this monkey see, monkey do thing. Like, do you think that people just seeing it happen creates this, like, effect, like a micro towards the macro?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even just, like, the performance of going into a restaurant or a deli and presenting my zero waste apparatuses, like a thermos or a napkin or something like that, it gets people like excited or thinking. Sometimes it gets them angry. Sometimes they're like, what are you doing? You
know, yeah, like, have people then, been really mean to you and judgy? I've wondered.
Yeah, some people are intense about it. Stubborn.
Yeah, some people are not down. But some people are really down. Some people like will be like, wow, this is so cool. And they really get down with what's going on. And with the napkin specifically, like if I ever get like a cookie or a pastry or something, like the person who would be giving it to me like starts wrapping the thing in the napkin and feels really cool about it. Like, it sort of feels like you're wrapping a baby or something. It's just like this like beautiful little thing, and they give it to me. But yeah, I mean, walking around with like a glass jar full of water is, I think, is pretty powerful. Just people seeing me drink out of this instead of a plastic water bottle, I think.
And then they're like, whoa.
Well, I don't know if it completely connects right away, but I do think that subconsciously, like, seeing this instead of seeing a plastic water bottle is affecting something, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think so, too.
Because I'm not normalizing the plastic water bottle.
Right. You're normalizing something else.
Right.
But it's more a pleasant aesthetic object.
It is,
like.
Actually, yeah. Nice. And the water tastes better.
Glass jar.
Yeah, it's just better on so many levels. On the superficial, on the depth, on the... So actually, something I was thinking about is... so we were talking about plastic before. We were talking about how, like, it's something that's, like, so fast to make now and, like, just get rid of... and not be able to get rid of later. And I feel like... I don't, I'm gonna, so that meeting that you had. What you called it a zero waste meetup and workshop.
Yeah, like discussion.
And do you find that there's like a community of people coming towards this with you who like have heard about you doing this or like who want? Because it seemed like that group had people in it who wanted to follow what you were doing and like meet up and do this regularly and try to eliminate waste from their life. And I was super into it. I was like, whoa, I didn't know what it was going to be when I showed up. I thought it might just be a talk, but it was this really cool discussion.
Yeah. The purpose of that meetup was to see who in my community was interested in meeting up, sort of like a support group or something, you know, to like give hope to those who want to do it, that there are other people trying to do it. Because, like, it does feel like an isolating practice. I mean, the entire system surrounding me is telling me not to do it, you know, in some way. Like, it's just...
Oh, I remember. This is why I brought this up at all. Yeah. I was like, oh, plastic. And then this group of people. It's because somebody there mentioned, like, efficiency. And it was unrelated to the actual thing of zero waste. But I was thinking about, like, efficiency versus sustainability. I feel like efficiency is like labeled as like fast, or I used to say efficiency and mean sustainability, and people would be like, well, you know, capitalism's totally efficient. And I'm like, we just make stuff and it gets made very quickly and it works and everybody has what they need. And I'm like, but sustainability means it could last long term. Like, do you feel like you have like a lot of pushback from people who are just not willing to be?
Well, I just don't think that it is efficient. I think they need to reevaluate what is efficient about it. Like buying an object that breaks every year is the opposite of efficient. You have to go back to the store to buy it. You have to throw up that object that broke. You know, those are two. Right. Those are two things that you as an individual have to do. Not to mention all of the work that surrounds the creation and you know waste management of that same object. So
awesome. You agree with me that efficiency and sustainability are the same thing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think sustainability is more efficient. To do something or to acquire something once and have it be useful over the long term, you also build a habit with it. Like, I think when I was using more disposable objects, I would get a little confused, like, about, you know, food and waste and what to get and what not to get. Now when I go to the grocery store, my grocery store visit is much more efficient because I can only really get a few things at the grocery store, so it's like streamlined, you know.
What have you been eating mostly? I'm super curious.
I eat a lot of beans and rice and veggies, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, kale, parsley, tomatoes, lettuce. I eat olive oil, almonds sometimes. Actually, I haven't bought almonds in a long time. They're very expensive, so I don't partake, but just like things I can get in bulk is really the main key. So I like if something is at the farmer's market that I haven't tried before, I'll probably grab it and like try to cook with it. And
so it seems like it's like broadening your horizons in a sense. Like, yeah. I've talked to a lot of vegans who like thought that they weren't going to be able to have a lot of things to eat. They were going to feel limited, and they actually felt like they got more.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also like I said, like, you know, I walk into the grocery store and you know how there's like shelves of like berries and kombuchas and different bottled drinks and different packaged foods. Like, instead of like standing in front of it for like 20 seconds and be like, oh, do I want anything from here? Like, I know I can't get anything from there. Like, I just walk right by it. And so that saves time.
Cool. So I'm curious, like, has there been anything that you've had a hard time not getting rid of, like waste wise? Like, what's left?
Oh yeah, there's so much. So much is left. There's tons. I guess one thing that is just a recurring pattern in my life is my disposable contact lenses, which I mentioned yesterday, because I do like to see clearly, but each contact lens comes in its own plastic thing, and the habitualness of it is very wasteful because every day I throw these objects away. And so that's just one way that I'm, like, thinking about, well, is this going to be sustainable for the long term? When I run out of the contacts that I have right now, am I going to get another batch? Or am I going to try to do something different? Am I just going to wear glasses? That's sort of something that's percolating in my mind I'm thinking about. Some other things, like, I have in my house right now, like, also, like, Q-tips. Like, I use Q-tips, and those I throw away. And so I've been questioning whether or not that's going to be sustainable as well, like, it's just, as long as I have these things, I'm still using them. That's sort of how I imagine it. I'm just reusing, I'm just using them up. But when they finish, I'm going to have to ask myself the question of whether or not I'm going to continue that practice of these disposable objects that are in my life.
Do you think that some of these disposable objects could be made reusable? Like, do you think there, it could be possible to make, like, cloth Q-tips or something that
sure,
you can
yeah.
wash? That's what I keep thinking about. Like, I keep thinking about, like, you can't, you don't want to bring baby wipes, but could you make reusable baby wipes? Like, could
yeah.
you soak,
yeah.
like, rags? Like,
yeah, you could, totally.
So have we gone over all the different things that you can do to not waste? Like, you can bring cups around, you can bring, what do you bring? You bring a bowl everywhere?
I bring a cup, like a little, like a metal cup that for coffee, like if I ever, or drinks in general, if I find myself in a place that's trying to give me a drink in a disposable cup, I'll be like, oh no, I don't, I have my cup, you don't need to give me the disposable cup. And then I have my jar, which is usually filled with water, but if it's not filled with water, I can fill it with juice or beans or whatever else, you know, I can. And then I have a thermos for to-go food. And if I go grocery shopping, I bring a lot more stuff. I bring, like, produce bags. I bring napkins. I bring other jars and containers.
Do you bring, like, rags napkins or napkins?
Yeah, I bring, like this napkin that I've been using to blow my nose.
Yeah, it's proof. Proof that you can't see, but I'm telling you.
I have a bunch of these. So these serve, like, as, you know, for I wrap bread in them, and I wrap, like, you know, herbs and stuff in them, and I wrap cookies in them and stuff like that. So
remember, you're saying you also feel like you have a lot more respect for your objects now.
Yeah. Like, each of these objects is special to me. I actually broke my last jar recently.
It was a bummer. it was a little crisis.
Oh no!
It fell, and I remember just being like, "Wow! Like, I've been holding onto this jar for the last month and a half, and it's been with me like every day."
It was very jarring.
it was so jarring.
So what do you know about, like, the environmental aspect of plastic, like that it just, like, sits there? But what do we do with plastic now? Is it, if somebody throws out plastic, it just goes to the dump and just sits there?
Well, we attempt to recycle it, but it in down cycles, I guess is the term.
Like, what do you mean?
It's impossible to have it, like, 100% yield from the existing plastic that is being recycled and being transformed into something else. It has to be supplemented, I guess, with more new plastic, and you lose, you know, on what was there, and the little microscopic fibers that comprise the plastic are,
how
you know, disseminated
out
into.
They just, like, melt stuff together. Like, I don't even understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately like
it's
an oil-based thing.
You were saying that in the song. I heard that. I never knew that it was, like, an oil-based thing. Look,
it's
at
created
our obsession
from oil.
With oil. It's
yeah.
obsession with
plastic
oil.
Is also related to oil. Like, the more that we use plastic, the more we use oil. It's like, it's actually something that people don't think about, especially as it pertains to, like, Standing Rock and the crisis of fracking and, you know, pipelines. I mean,
it's not just cars. You know.
Yeah, if we really want to, like, remove ourselves from oil, like, plastic is one way that we can reduce our oil consumption.
Wow, I didn't even know that, and I'm like, so super, like, we have to change everything. We don't need oil. We can use solar, man. You don't even need electricity all the time, man. Like, you just don't, all right? Like, no, I feel like people would see me as, like, not necessarily, like, for freedom. And I feel like I am, because I feel like people will have more freedom if they are not forced to, like, consume. Not everybody's forced to consume, but, you know, I feel like people would have more freedom if we weren't destroying the friggin' planet. So they had more time to be here and have children and have generations go on and on. But I feel like sometimes people just need to get over certain things. Like, people just need to, like, get over it. Like, we're not gonna have, we shouldn't have plastic. We shouldn't be using as much plastic. Like, maybe you can't have everything what you want right then and now.
Well, I mean,
now.
It's a humbling practice, and I think that for me it's, like, not about telling people what they can and can't do, but rather it's just, like, a introspective decision that I've made, that I'm like, well, if I really care about these things, if I'm going to be somebody that tells other people that I care about this or I care about that, or I don't want to see people suffer, I don't want to see people oppressed, and if I really truly believe that, then I need to, like, look within myself and examine what is going on in my life that I'm complacent to, that I am sort of participating in ignorantly and without knowledge. And this is just one little thing that I've been doing to, like, reevaluate my practices and my habits and the way that I live my life. And there's still so many more things, you know.
Yeah. Were you about to say something?
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess that, I mean, you're talking about control versus freedom and things like that, and those are certainly relevant. And my instincts, too, tend to be to want to minimize the amount of oversight and regulation, except where necessary. And, like, there's just obviously difficult, thorny, and acute problems that require some sort of legislation ultimately. But in the meantime, rather than picketing for that particular thing as though I have the exact solutions, it feels better to just live in the way that I wish that everyone would live, you know, and like live in such a way that, yeah, if everybody did it, it would work out, like the Kantian principle, you know, live according to that, which if everybody did it, everything would harmonize. And then you'd end up normalizing an idea that ultimately maybe has some sort of legal shape to it at some point, if it's appropriate or if it's necessary, you know, but it's like a slow evolution to that.
Yeah, I definitely hear that. I think that activism can sometimes be, like, pushy and, like, arrogant, like, certain kinds of activism, and it sounds like to be, like, practicing what you think makes it a little easier, because then people just see that you're doing it and maybe want to imitate
you. It's clearer.
It's clearer. Yeah, but that's interesting, though. Like, I don't think I'm, like, for control, per se. Like, I think that I don't really want people to be controlled. I actually believe in very limited government, but I just wonder, like, if there wasn't the government upholding the rights of the businesses or the larger businesses, would we have so much plastic? Would so many of these larger scale projects that produce waste exist?
Yeah, I mean, I think the structure of the system as it is now perpetuates creating things that don't actually have a use or don't have an ultimate efficiency, because efficiency is a relative term, I suppose, is what we're arriving at. And then if we think of
what's a relevant term?
Efficiency is a relative term. Yeah, it depends on the scale at which you're looking in terms of the temporal span of the existence of humankind or the existence of the planet Earth. And I think as things are structured now, it creates an apparent need, you know, for things that there's no existential need for. But I don't doubt that, like, even if you were a very staunch capitalist, that if it became sincerely cool for most people to be really into their glass jars, we would find a way to have a bunch of people get really rich on selling glass jars.
Oh,
I can't tell you exactly how, but I believe that's exactly
what would happen.
I mean, the idea is they're not supposed to have to buy it again, so, like, you don't get the repeat customer, but, like, if you're making badass jars, I'm sure you could be, like, a juggernaut of the jar.
They'll
industry,
find something. You know? Well, you got to pay 50 cents to refill your water
That industry
jar.
Is... That industry exists. I mean, there are plenty of glass jars, reusable water bottles, and, you know, they're very fancy, but even those have packaging around them. They have silicone bases. They have, like, different paper packaging things. You know, the branding and the marketing of it is, like, it's not a holistic endeavor. It's just a fad, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I struggle with. Like, it's, like, not that I, like, feel like anybody should be able to step in and tell other people what to do and what they can eat and how they should behave. Like, I am, like, super, like, against that. But then there's a part of me that just feels like exhausted sometimes, like, thinking about, like, how people don't seem to think about it.
It's about awareness, you know, like, somebody, like, even me, like, I've walked into a store and bought one of those, like, you know, sort of, like, branded reusable water bottles. And for me, I didn't end up using them that much because they were too small for me, and so I wouldn't refill them as often. But I did like them, and I was like, oh, this is cool, and I bought one. But now the way that I think, like, I don't just buy things because I think they're cool and because I like them, you know, that I realize that that's the market playing a trick on me in a lot of ways. And so, you know, and the thing with glass jars is that they exist in every, like, tomato sauce you buy and every, like, you know, there's so many glass jars that you can reuse for any purpose. And you don't have to buy something that's marketed to you as a water bottle just because it is that.
I wonder if it's possible to, like, untrain consumers, like, make it a voluntary workshop, like, how to buy shit that you don't need. Because it has to be voluntary, like, no control. Like, people have to want to. Like, I'm totally with you on that. Like, if I offer, like, absolutely free, like, untrain your eyes from consumerism classes or, like, utility classes or something.
Right.
Something I like to do is I take my water jug with me into a store, and I just, like, as I walk around the store, I sip the water. And I think that, that helps me, like, not buy things because I'm consuming, but I'm just consuming in a different way.
That's how I quit cigarettes.
Really?
I would, like, go to parties and go to bars, and I would, like, if I wanted a cigarette, I would just chew on, like, raw garlic. Ooh. Not raw garlic, raw ginger. Mm. Because ginger is so good for your throat, so it was, like, counteracting whatever throat problems I'd developed. Ginger is a natural anti-inflammatory. This is a message from the hippy-dippy side of Tuke. And then, you know, you hear the angry Tuke and you hear the hippy-dippy. You could use ginger for everything. It's the medicine of the earth. And plastic is the illness and the sickness. So I think what I think would be really cool is to talk about what you could do, like upcycling and stuff. Upcycling, you were talking about, like, where did you get this jar? Was this jar from, like,
I removed the thing from it, like, almost immediately, so I don't remember exactly what it was.
But it's got, like, plaid on the top. It looks like it's probably, like, a jam.
Well, the top is from a jelly. Yeah, but the top and the bottom they didn't come together.
I guess an asparagus. It's an asparagus-shaped jar.
It kind of looks like it could be asparagus, like, yeah, pickled asparagus or something like that. Maybe it was, maybe it was pickles. Could just be pickles.
I've been rocking a pickle jar.
You've been rocking a pickle jar. Yeah. I have this weird little bottle that used to have booze in it, and it's really small.
Oh, nice.
It's like a glass bottle. But, you know, whatever works for you, you know, you don't need to buy the cool one to make the cool one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you can make it look cool. Like, you could put stuff on it.
Right. But I did buy, like, stainless steel Tiffinware, like, to-go containers for food, which I have one here, I think. But it's
Are you gonna show everybody?
Yeah, I'm going to show
everybody. I'm going to show everybody on the radio, and we can describe it. I can be your eyes.
But yeah, like, stainless steel food containers are really cool. And that's something that I did go out and buy specifically because I didn't have any... and I wanted to have the things I needed to, like, get food from the outside and bring it home without, you know, using plastic.
Fuck plastic. I feel like, I mean, the name of this episode, how do we eliminate waste? I feel like it should just be like, the name should just be fuck plastic.
Well, I mean, in a way, like, I feel like one of the things that we've been talking about, and also with, like, the angle with that song is, like, to personify it, like, we made it, you know, that... Just like any object, there's no reason to hate it. It's not plastic's fault, you know. It's like the Frankenstein monster, you know. It's like it was made as it was made, and and there's a lot of problems that attend its existence and its self-perpetuating existence, just because of its chemical makeup. But just as everything in the universe, it's all part of one universe, and directing aggression toward it as though it's some sort of shadowy evil in the sky that we can't control is maybe not helpful either. You know, it's like. Don't necessarily make more of it because it's like already having enough kids, you know, like just try and take care of the problem as it exists as much as possible and as embracingly
as possible.
Your kids
are the problem. I'm sorry. I'm just joking with you. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's such a like poignant point. Like we have so much plastic in our landfills right now. Like we can't, hating it is not going to solve. We have to love it, really. We have to love it and, like, create art with it or something. Like, something has to happen with it because it's just sitting there.
Yeah, we have to, like you said, like, upcycling. Like, I know that there have been people, I don't know, people have, like, built islands out of, like, cans and made, like, weird things.
That's very cool.
Like, what if, like, you know, if we really don't overcome this global warming thing and everything floods, we're going to have to figure out how to build some stuff.
Yeah, because, plastic rafts.
Plastic
rafts because, like, there's going to be...
Plastic yachts.
I mean, there's that album, Welcome to the World of the Plastic Beach. Let me think of that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's the Gorillaz. They're like, welcome to the world of the plastic beach.
Wow.
Made me think of that. But I always have this image that, like, if things really do flood and, like, New York, part of New York is underground, we're going to have to build, like, these Jetson-like things if we want to survive and learn how to survive off of, like, food from the ocean. Because I've wondered, like, how much edible plant stuff is in the ocean. That we're just not aware of. Like, I don't know, I get really excited thinking about that. Like, are there weird little, like, plants at the bottom of the ocean we're gonna have to eat if everything floods? I don't want us to flood, but, like, if we do, that'll be the good thing. Yeah. Discover, like, a whole new diet. But, yeah, imagine we could build, like, our Jetson houses out of all the plastic that we've left everywhere.
I mean, I suppose there's the problematic aspect that there's plastic consumption or exposure to plastic has been linked to carcinogens and things like that, you know, which is something that I don't have a lot of specific expertise on, but it does make upcycling plastic objects specifically more problematic. Like they say that you shouldn't, if you have like your gallon bottle or something like that, you should only use that a couple times before.
Yeah, you shouldn't use plastic water bottles that much. Yeah, I've not, I mean, I didn't know about that. And then also like when people are trying to make or recycle plastic, like you said, like they try to, it breaks down, they need more, like if they're using that, like does it create like put off some sort of
the dust, you know?
So yeah, I don't want to hate plastic. I don't want to hate plastic because it's our fault. But does that mean I hate humans? No, I don't hate humans. Sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes it feels like it. But I wonder, like, are we very much like Frankenstein? Like, we were made like this? And, like, but I don't believe in human nature, though. Some people would say it's human nature. Some people would be like, oh, it's human nature to just make plastic and want it now. And, like, and I don't really agree with that. I think that's, like, some weird conditioning.
I would agree. Yeah, yeah. I don't think we're – I think we got on for a long time without needing – things as fast as a plastic water bottle can be obtained.
Yeah, I love like people. It's human nature, man. This is the way it is. Like, you can't change it. I don't agree. I don't like that. Right. That stresses me out a lot. I feel like I get in that conversation all the time, like in activist meetings, like groups where people are trying to create change of some kind. Like there's always somebody who's just like, well, I don't know if we can because like human nature. It's like, okay.
Right. Difference between human nature and human habit.
Yeah, I think it's more habit.
I think it's habit, too. And I think, like, you know, I grew up with it. Like I said, like, I hadn't even, like, thought about some of this shit. Like,
same.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think about poop a lot. I actually think about poop, like, a lot. Like, when I poop, I think about, like, how it's going to go in the sewer and sit there and how it's never going to be used to grow food.
Right.
You can use my poop and your poop and other people's poop to grow food if you put it through a certain process.
That was one of the first things I thought about when I started doing this because, like, you know, you think about waste, not just plastic, not just paper, not just anything, but, like, really anything you throw away. And, our, you know, most original source of waste is our poop. And, like, the first thing that I was thinking about was, like, oh, like, if I was really going to, like, move and live in, on a sustainable piece of land.
I know where you can go if you want.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I would want to like make a compost toilet. You know, that's what I started reading about compost toilets and I was like, this is a little too far. Like not like I would do it. Like I would do it, but like right now in my life, like I need to leave New York City. There's so many steps I would need to do before I got to my ideal like magical compost toilet.
We should have composting in every I mean I know it'd be really hard. This is like my like crazy dream, but I really wish we could transfer our sewer system or like change it into a composting system and then we could have roof gardens and like we could have like stuff on every street corner, vegetables, and then we could use the plastic cartons that people get berries and weird stuff in as planters and people could like walk by and pick off the basil and the herbs. That's my fantasy.
Well, that sounds great.
That sounds really great.
If people would be down, I feel like I don't know. I feel like people are
unless
really
the plastic leaches into the soil and then, you know, destroys the berries.
Does that happen? Does it actually go into the soil? I mean, I just know that people have used... I mean, it's your right.
I mean, it's just because the plastic is really flimsy and it's sitting out in the sun.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Oh, man.
But, you know, it's a good idea, too.
No, I hear what you're saying, though. Oh, no, I'm not... Oh. So you're saying that, like, my upcycle is, like, not going to work. Oh, I'm, like, so upset. Like,
just keep working on it.
Apparently, like, you know, I asked the question, what would save the world? Oh, yeah, there we go. And she's using the sustainable napkin. Yay.
For my snot.
Yeah, but, like, so,
delicious
like.
Delicious snot.
So this is what would save the world, where I ask other people what would save the world. And sometimes I think I have all the answers, but I don't. I don't at all. And that's really been healthy for me to figure out, to say, you know, I don't have the answers, and that's why I started doing the show, because I was living in a commune for a little while, and I felt like, oh, what do other people think would work? Like, do they think it's communes? Is that the answer? Or is it this? Is it that? Is it composting? Is it something else? Is it... And, yeah, you're listening to Radio for Brooklyn, what would save the world? I was going to talk to you about composting toilets. Yeah, I used to live in this sustainable community, and not completely, but we used all our poop to grow food, and... When I got back to the city, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And we used to compost all our food scraps or feed it to chickens. And like,
I compost.
You compost? Yay, me too.
Yeah, I bring it to the farmer's market in Union Square.
Cool.
That's a really good way to start doing zero waste stuff because a lot of our waste is organic, but that's probably the easy, you know. I mean, removing the organic waste from my trash is so nice. It just makes the whole house feel way better.
Hell yeah. Do we want to, so we have about 15 minutes left. Do you want to do a freestyle?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Let me go to this playlist I made that says RFB today, Radio Free Brooklyn today. What would save the world? On Radio Free Brooklyn. I just love like doing like a mock radio voice.
Yeah, you have a lot of different voices that go into your show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn, you know. It's just
I want to do a radio show.
You want to do a radio show? Oh, you can submit. Hey, everybody, that's another thing. Radio Free Brooklyn is taking submissions, I believe, until either the 31st or the end of the month. So you got like 2 days. If you want to go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, we're taking submissions. We're looking for all kinds of shows, music shows, pre-record shows, live shows. Yeah, you guys should totally get a show. That would be so fucking kick-ass.
Killing
cool. Let's do it.
We'll
yeah.
put this in our portfolio.
Yeah, or just apply. And then, like, you guys are awesome. So I can't imagine it would work out. It would be ridiculous. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, no, I've played your music and shit on Brooklyn Bandstand. But, but you know, you know, I'm not showing any favorability to anyone because, you know, like no hierarchy or anything like
this
that.
This is about saving the world. That's
this
all.
This is about saving the world. this is all about saving the world and no special treatment. But like, oh man, okay, I'm just gonna rant for like a quick second about something. I was watching this like alt-right video because I always want to know like what they actually think or like what they think they're saying, so like I can get a grasp on how they're getting other people to say weird things. And like, I don't know, I just want to see it. So they were saying like that, how like, oh, the special snowflakes are being told that they're special when they're younger, but also everyone's equal, and that's like cognitive dissonance and not real. And I kept thinking to myself, like, but you can be special and still be equal. Like, you can have something like unique about you that's right. special and still be equal. And I know that's like so basic.
Equality and identity are not the same concepts.
Yeah, exactly. And why did I even think of that? Oh yeah, because it was like no special treatment. I mean, but if I think, I don't even know. I am like super stream of consciousness, and y'all should submit a radio show to Radio Free Brooklyn. Everybody should, and figure it out. All right, all right, here we go. Here's your beat. Here we go.
All right, on the radio, feel the beat booming. Just about to improvise a little bit of music. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Hear how the bars rock on the radio like NPR Car Talk.
Yeah, we're talking about different things. I'm not sure that I'm hearing myself sing, but maybe I am. Maybe this is the wing where I fly up above and I do everything.
Do everything like everything contained in the world. Just trying to figure out how to save the world, crazy guy, crazy girl. Off at the top to tell I'm rocking this on the radio, but we're not radiologists.
No, we're not, but we do like the weather. Oh, yeah, and we're never, ever gonna get her into a box. I don't know what I'm saying. I like socks.
I like socks. I also like shoes. I go by Sir Nate, and I am the knight of the new. I like rockin' verses. I also rock the sampler on the airwaves like Brendan Fraser and Adam Sandler.
So many references, so many different people. Just trying to stay cool, not be like a sheeple. Be crazy, like in my own identity, trying to save the world one thing at a vasectomy.
Vasectomy, like cut it off.
No!
Coming like the very opposite to soft. Yeah, off at the top, that's how I rock it. Rocking out with Took like the Hobbit.
Ooh, Took, that's cool. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling like I went to school. Yeah, just talking about different things I'm doing. Oh, yeah, right now I'm just spitting truth and then spewing.
Truth and then spew it, off the top with the vomit spit. Just trying to articulate myself with the honestness. It's the hottest wit. Do it like magic, trying to figure out ways to be recycling the plastic.
Recycling the plastic.
Oh, that was so cool that it went right into the Plastic Man. I should say that was awesome.
Wow, it ended and then just went right into that.
Yeah, because I made a playlist. Yeah, The Hobbit is super cool. It's like Belladonna Took, not Peregrine Took. Do you know who Belladonna Took is? No,
please.
Belladonna Took is mentioned for like literally like a page.
It's actually from The Hobbit?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
She's mentioned and she's like, she's mentioned as having a little bit of fae blood, but also being a hobbit, and that's why Bilbo was able to go on these adventures, unlike all the other hobbits that ever existed except for the Tooks. So wow. I picked that because I lived in a commune, and somebody else showed up. His name was Maddie, and I was like, this is the perfect time to get a hippie name. So I made my name Belladonna Took, but Belladonna is a porn star. So out here, everybody goes, are you a porn star? I'm like, not that porn star. I don't know. I guess I'm some kind of, I'm not a porn star, but I definitely am comfortable with nudes. But So then I started going by Tuke.
We're all naked right now, all of us.
We're all naked right now, but you'll never, if that's the most sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just trying to bring it back, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, before the show I was joking about how people love...
Are we naked? Oh, we're naked, yeah.
We're naked, yeah.
We're naked right now.
How people love to hear, like, that weird shit is going on at the radio station, when it's, like, even if it is or isn't, like... Like, oh, yeah, like, there's totally, like, a cat in here that is wondering. There's totally not
I've
a
had,
cat in here.
I've
Don't
had
worry,
my,
Tom. Don't worry, Tom.
I've had my index finger in Nate's butthole the entire time.
Yeah, that's it's been quite comfortable, actually.
That's called zero waste. You know, it, like, plugs it up. So weird. Oh, my God.
Can't create shit if you can't shit.
Yeah. Although, like, that's something, like, I feel like I screw about sometimes. I'm like... We were literally given the tools to make flowers out of our shit.
Yeah.
And we can't even figure out how to do that.
And the whole time you're talking about it, I was thinking, like, Plato's cosmological vision of the universe, he describes the universe as this living being. It's like one living being with one soul. It's all soul. And there's a sentence where he says, it's a single living creature subsisting on its own waste. Just a giant, shit-eating one.
You gotta eat the shit, but you gotta keep making the shit.
Exactly, yeah.
It's all
part of one process.
You have to be able to make the shit out of the shit. And that's the problem with plastic is it's like not, you don't get to really make more out of the shit. Like if you make shit and you mix it with other stuff that's like the waste of other things, it becomes more.
It's hard to poop out and it's not tasty.
Yeah, it's hard to poop out and it's not tasty. It's hard to poop out and it's not tasty. I just repeated that without thinking about what it is. And now I got it. So this is what would save the world, guys. People need to laugh a little bit more. I definitely need to laugh a little bit more. I'm really appreciative of how much good energy you both have right now. Because like I was saying, like there's like definitely a lot of angry activists who come in here who have great energy also. But I like the balance. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of anger on my show. I feel like, yeah, ding ding ding. But also. Talking about, how the Earth is a living thing. I think about sometimes, like they say that, like, a meteor, not a meteor, a comet. That's the ice one, right? Yeah, like, a comet, like, hit the Earth and had life particles on it, and it, like, hit the Earth at just the right time, which makes me think of sperm meeting an egg.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot, and I wonder if that's just, like, the macro pattern that continues, like, this meeting, and it's, like, if it happens to be in the right phase, then it just works out. And that's what I think about this micro and macro. I'm kind of obsessed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think about like abuse and how there's like a lot of micro abuse that goes on, but on a larger level I feel like the systems can be very abusive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and you can see the reflections, and that's a whole other thing. But now, wow, it's existential right now.
Yeah,
so we brought Plato into it, so
yeah, we got Plato in it.
Yeah, we took it there.
Oh, and this brings it back to the Rugrats,
to Plato.
My favorite, literally, there's this great episode of the Rugrats. I don't even remember. I think they're like the Hanukkah episode. And like Chucky goes, "Oh, Tommy, look, it's a whole book about Plato." And it's like, not Plato, it's Plato.
Yeah.
So we brought it back to the Rugrats. It would be great rappers. It would be great activists. Okay, so as we're ending this, are you going to be doing those groups again?
Yeah, I would like to do another one on April 9th, which is Sunday, not next Sunday, but the one after that. And, I don't know where. It might be at Gumbo Forest, which is at 231 Norman Avenue, but I have to confirm that. So you can just, like, get on my mailing list.
Yeah, how do people get on your mailing list? How do people hear your music? How do people come to your shows? Let's do that. Let's pitch all that stuff.
Cool.
Let's do it.
So we are Sir Nate.
I'm Sir Nate.
I'm Hilla the Killa.
She's Hilla the Killa.
And together we are Killin' Hate.
Hell yeah, killing the hate for the plastic. Just love it, make
and
it better.
Our email is sirnate.hillothekilla, and that's spelled sirknate.hilla, H-I-L-A, the T-H-E, killa, K-I-L-L-A, @gmail.com. So you can get on the mailing list that way. Just send us an email.
Yeah, send us an email.
Yeah, you have to get on the mailing list, and you also have to submit your shows to Radio Free Brooklyn, and... if you want to ever be on this show, you can email me at Took, TOOK, @radiofreebrooklyn.com, or if you disagree or agree with anything on there, please email me. I love feedback. And if you've been listening to this show, I'm going to be posting on my Twitter. That's 2, like the number symbol, not spelled out, like 2 KEDALOW. That's my Twitter handle. I'm going to be asking questions about this show with a hashtag, what would save the world, and you can get involved in the discussion and share your tips. And what's that blog people should check out again? That woman from, I think she's from, she's a musician, you said.
Oh, yeah, Rennie Lane. It's a zero waste rock star.
Zero waste rock star. That just makes it sound so cool. And, you know, yeah, also you can hear my other shows on iTunes and stuff, What Would Save the World. Okay, I'm done pitching myself. I've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. But also I want to ask, like, one more thing. Do you think that, like, something that I'm playing with this in my head, like, is it helpful to, like, causes like this one that, like, resistance is in? Do you know what I mean? Like, resistance is cool. Like, we were talking about like how they'd find a way to sell resistance anyway. But you were saying something, Nate, at the meeting, like, you think that that's a good thing because it's, like, better.
I do, yeah. I mean, philosophically maybe and aesthetically there can be problems with co-opting and commodifying forms of resistance. But if the biggest problem that we have is that it's become really cool to conserve and not create waste, and that's generally the trend that's happening, and maybe a couple people are making money off of it in a way that's, like, a little bit aesthetically or morally problematic, I would way rather have that problem than the problem that we have now. Like, bring on the problem of, like, oh, shoot, you know, it's too cool, or it's not cool anymore because so many people are saving the planet Earth. You know, like, that's a way better problem to have than it just not being...
Of course. No, but I worry about that, like, backfiring in a sense. That's what I'm, like, worried about. Like, would people just find other terrible shit to make? Or, like... Or not terrible, because you guys are killing hate. Now I feel like I gotta pick my words differently. But, I don't know. I guess I just worry about it, like, funneling back into the same system that continues to oppress people somehow. You know? Mm. I mean, I guess, like, I'm also, like... I wonder if I'm just, like... super harshly anti-capitalism, like, can't see out of it.
Mm. Well, it's just not a very, like, capitalist thing to do, is to tell people you don't actually need 90% of the things that you buy, and you can reuse your tools, you know, to gather more things. It doesn't really create profit at the end of the day. So, I mean, even though if it becomes trendy and if people, like, find a way to make money from it, like, that's cool. I can't really conceive of how one could make money sustainably from people, like, really reusing and really being, you know, careful about their waste.
Well, yeah, I think the less that people buy, the less people are going to be able to make money off of, and then it's just going to be maybe naturally it'll just fall
but
in
maybe,
that direction.
Maybe people will make money off gatherings, events, you know, things like that, donations. Like, maybe we can, like, somehow move the market into a different place. So it's not about products, not about actual items that are packaged, but it's more about, you know, experiences and moments.
And maybe we don't need money. Maybe we can figure out how to do it without that, and we can share our stuff.
It's a whole other can of worms.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's, like, my dream is, like, all those, like, gardens and nobody needs money. We can just figure out how to all do it, and there's the hippie part again. we got like 2 minutes here. So last thing, what would save the world?
What would save the world?
Yeah, what would save the world?
Introspection. Inner reflection.
I know this sounds like a cop-out, but I was going to say something similar. We went to watch the Baldwin movie.
I Am Not Your Negro.
Yeah, last night. And that was sort of like one of the salient themes, like even transcending, because that film is about his writing and about, well, it's the whole script is his writing, and it's about, mainly about black-white relations at the time that he was living. But then the main theme was like, really, well, people just have to work on themselves. They got to look within, rather than looking toward the right external cause to get behind and the right thing to picket about and the right thing to post about, right? This is how I interpret it, the right thing to rally around conceptually and identify yourself with, work on your own identity as a job.
I think work on your own identity as a job, and I think you do both. I think activism, I think like going out and like doing things and being loud about a message, but also working on yourself is super rad. That's super awesome and balanced. We got like literally 5 seconds. That's why I cut you off. Thank you for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn.
So funny. I love that.